I now call the Winchester Town Advisory Board on today, September 9, 2025. We will start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, my name is Christian Barnion, and to my left I have
April Mensch.
And to my right,
Chris Hooper.
Judy Perez Siegel.
And then we got a county liaison.
Beatrice Martinez, Commissioner of Sager Bloom's office.
All right, and the secretary?
Beatrice, but then Allison is training.
Okay. And then from planning?
Brady Bernhardt, Conference of Planning.
And Vivian Florsky, Planning Commissioner.
All right. Now we move to the public comments. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about the items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearings items at the time that they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about these items and in their jurisdiction, but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the end of the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the front over here and clearly state your name and your address and spell your last name for the record, please. If any of the members of the board would like to extend the length of the presentation, it will be done by the chairperson and the board by a majority vote. Now we move to for the approval of the minutes of the last meeting, which was August 26, 25. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Now we move to the approval of the agenda of today. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. So we're going to go with this one, which I believe is the only item. UC-25-0544 World Buddhism Association Headquarters.
The things are not too big.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a good scale besides the image.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jennifer Lazovich. I am here tonight representing the applicant, and my address is 1980 Festival Plaza Drive. The location of the site is at the corner of Sahara and Paradise Road. You know it as a parking lot now. It's about a little over 12 acres in size, and the monorail kind of runs along the edge of it on the Sahara side. What we're here before you, I was here 2 weeks ago. The board asked if I could come back to address some questions. So I'll just make maybe a brief presentation about what it is and then get into some of the questions that the board had. So as I started the presentation last town board, I started with what it isn't. And I want to make it very clear because I know that there are neighbors here who express concerns over what the program was at the Westgate. So this project sits on the other side of where Turnberry Towers is, with Paradise Road here and Sahara here. To the south of us is the 4-plus story garage that is where Turnberry's parking garage, and then to the south of that are the towers for Turnberry. On the east side of us is Joe W. Brown Drive. This is not a concert venue. We have zero desire to have any type of concert or loud music. I know that that was one area of concern for Turnberry, and the other area of concern was just the brightness of the lights that happened in 2023. So for comparison, we just pulled this off the internet. The Westgate event really was about light, and it was like a lot of light and a lot of color, as I understand it, a lot about the brightness. The other packet that I gave you is kind of starting to talk about what this Lantern Festival is. So the use permit before you today is to allow an event that would be able to last longer than 10 days. And this Lantern Festival, and I'll get into the dates, but it would roughly go, there is setup and breakdown, but be open to the public from roughly December 20th to March 8th. Setup and breakdown occur before those dates and after those dates, and I will get into that in a minute. But the contrast that I wanted to point out is this is kind of what the inside of, I'll call the lantern, would look like before it's covered in the fabric. And I think that this is a really important exhibit because you can see that, yes, there's lighting. Of course, this is designed to have light around it, but it's not light all over it and then fabric. It's very little light that runs through it, and then this is what it looks like when the fabric starts to cover it. So it ends up having more of a muted light. I'm not saying there's not light, but it's not about the brightness. It's light within that's then covered with the fabric. This gives you another idea of what like a lantern would look like. So as you come into the site, we have two different locations for driveway entrances. One would come off of Sahara, one would come off of Paradise. And as you walk through, it is a walkthrough, it's not a drive-through. I think that this exhibit is also important to show. It kind of gives you a feel for the fact that the whole site isn't covered in lights, because you have to be able to walk from each zone. Each zone is themed differently. So you have zone A, here's like the main entrance up closer to Sahara. You have zone A, and then you walk to B, C, D, E, and F. And ultimately, this whole area that we're showing for this takes up roughly 3.6 acres of the 12-acre site. So the far majority of that site will have nothing on it of any kind. This is limited to really the middle with the parking on either side by Joe W. Brown, by Paradise. We have just an empty area kind of up by Sahara. But nonetheless, it allows for just that separation for this to be really sitting in the middle of the site. And this picture shows, so the gray shows the walking paths. So as you go to zone A, they want that to be kind of its own little contained exhibit, and then you walk to zone B. And so the way that they're gonna keep that contained with the light within itself is by some fencing that goes in throughout each of the zones. Okay, so this keeps the light. You want each exhibit to stand on its own with its own, and I'll show you what those are gonna look like in a minute in concept, but each little area would be kind of backdropped with something that would be a fence of this nature. Now, when you're walking, we would have a little bit of light on those fences just to guide so it's not completely dark. We don't want anybody feeling like it's too dark to walk in between each of the exhibits. But this is on the fencing only. And again, we can't have it too bright, because if one zone's brightness is too bright, it overshadows a different zone's brightness. So it's all meant to be very muted, very zone specific. And then as you walk through all of the exhibits, you end up in F. F, again, what sits to the south of us is the garage, and then south of that is the towers. F we have as like the Christmas tree area. And so one of the questions came up is, how tall is that Christmas tree? Because it ranges from who knows how tall up to like a Rockefeller Center tree. The trees would be roughly 5 to 6 feet in height. There would be more, but that's for the children's area. So no, it is not a gigantic tree that's really, really tall, but it's meant for an area where kids go. So to kids, 5 or 6 feet is taller than they are, and that's a bigger tree, but it's not a huge tree. The maximum height of any of the lantern structures that we would have is 35 feet. That's the maximum height. I mentioned early on that we are not a concert. We don't want our sounds to be heard by the neighbors. But I do want to also be honest that in each zone they may have a violinist. But the idea with that noise is that it's contained within zone A, so that when you get to zone B or zone E, you might have a harpist. There's ambient music,
that accompanies each of the exhibit zones, but it's not loud and it's not meant to be amplified and loud. It's meant to be contained within each of the exhibit areas so that there's no bleed over from zone to zone. One of the other questions that came up was about dates and timing, because with F1 coming to town, there's a lot more emphasis on, well, how long does it take for you to set up or break down one of these events? So our setup is, we estimate that it would begin on November 25th, and it would conclude sometime before December 20th, because we anticipate that the event would open to the public on December 20th. The event would end on March 8th, and then it would take roughly 10 to 15 days to break it down. So we're roughly saying that breakdown would occur around March 20th. It's a little easier to take it down than it is to put it up. And so the dates, yes, the event itself is right around 3 months, but there's a little bit before and a little bit on the after for the setup and for the breakdown. Other questions that you had was about the timing, I believe. You asked about, is this event timed to coincide with Chinese New Year? The answer to that is yes. It's also timed to coincide with what I'll call New Year's Eve as we think about it on December 31st and Christmas Eve. So the dates run from December 20th through March to coincide with both traditional Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, and Chinese New Year and New Year's Eve is February 16th and 17th. So it goes a little beyond that. Now, in terms of times, trying to be respectful to the fact that we have residential neighbors to the south of us, we had times, and I just went with when the lights would go off. It felt like that was what I should talk about rather than when does it end. More so, when do the lights turn off? So Sunday through Wednesday, the lights would turn off at 10:30 p.m. And then Thursday through Saturday, the lights would turn off by 11:30 p.m. There are four exceptions to those dates, and I named them already, which is Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, Chinese New Year's Eve, and Chinese New Year's Day, which is February 16th and February 17th. And on those days, we would like to stay open until 11:30. If that, for example, Christmas Eve fell on a Wednesday, we would be asking for that particular day for it to stay open until 11:30. Let me see what else did I have. One of the other questions that came up was about traffic and how would I handle or how would this play with traffic. This area down here, we certainly have parking spaces for any locals that want to come, but we also think that there will be taxi and Uber Lyft drop-offs and pickups. So we've created an area down here in the gray on the south side. Again, that creates some separation to the Turnberry parking garage on the south. That would be where the Lyft and Uber and taxi cab drop-offs would be. So that would occur on site. In terms of like timing, so it's a ticketed time that you can go. And it's a walkable thing, so we estimate it would take people maybe, if they're really standing and enjoying it, maybe 45 minutes to an hour to see, the whole event. Maybe a little bit longer, maybe a little bit shorter, depending on what they want to see or if they want to walk, spend more time in one zone than another. So we have ticketed time blocks of like 3 to 5, 5 to 7, 7 to 9, and then 9 to 11 if it was a weekend night. And of course those shift a little bit if it's the Sunday through Wednesday to meet that 10:30 time for the lights to be off. But that's how we are addressing the traffic, like they're all coming at once. This is meant to be seen largely at night, so daylight savings time will occur in November. So, I know it's not dark at 3 o'clock. That probably means people are more edging towards the 4:35, but that's kind of the window to go to be able to see it. And then we just think with those earlier times, you can get some of the families that might have younger children on the earlier side, maybe the 5 to 7, even the 7 to 9, I suppose, but then you could have more of the adults that might hit a little bit of the later with that 7 to 9 or 9 to 11 stage. So I hope I remembered and I answered the questions from last time, and I'd be happy to answer any other ones they might have.
All right, so now we're gonna open to the public. Please, if you have a question, you're gonna come here to the front, spell your name, your address for the record, okay? Thank you.
Who's going first?
Oh, and remind them that she's gonna answer at the end.
Oh yeah, and she's gonna answer at the end. So just say your question, she's gonna write it down, and then she's gonna answer all that at the end, okay?
Okay, my first question is,
name and address?
Name and address,
Isaac Smith. Spelled S-M-Y-T-H, and my address is 222 Karen Avenue, 4002. My first question is, are these employees who are going to do this work, are they going to be imported? Are they going to be U.S. citizens? The people that work there, are they going to be U.S. citizens?
Sir, would you mind taking your glasses off, please? Thank you.
Certainly. But are they going to be citizens of the United States, or are they going to be people that come from China? Are there people who are illegally here? My second question pertains to something that's already been approved by this council, is the old Allnet Arena. I would really prefer that we finish one project before we start another. That's my question. That's directed at you guys.
Okay, so we are going to refer the questions to this matter. If you have any other comments like that, at the end of the whole program, okay?
Well, I'm not going to pre-bother you with that because you already heard it. So those are my questions.
Sorry. Next.
Aaron Gellos. Address 222 Karen Avenue, unit 1505. I was here a couple weeks ago. You know my concerns already. I did a little more research since 2 weeks ago and learned that the production company that's going to be handling this is Dragon Lights LLC. They have a production going in Reno that is currently going on, I believe, and going to go on through the end of November. They typically do these at botanical gardens or at a zoo, somewhere that is public, walkable, friendly, used to these light shows. So I wanted to show you the entrance at the Reno show and some of the other, So this, the entrance here, she said it would only be 35 feet, but this is clearly much taller than 35 feet. I don't know if they're gonna limit it for this one, but that concerns me. So these are the people. And you see, they're very large and they're very lit and they're very bright. I have a question too, if there's going to be anything like that, which would be concerning. This is not from Reno.
Want to show her?
You can show her.
If there would be anything like that with the pagodas.
You can show her that other picture with the big gate. Please.
Biggest concern, we heard the same thing with regard to the Westgate production prior to its approval about ambient sound. It's going to be trickling with music, it's going to be something you won't be able to hear it standing over here in one place versus standing over here, you're not going to hear it. We heard it all the way on the 15th floor, across the street, across their parking lot, because it was blasted from loudspeakers. And it just goes right up. So ambient music, to me, means it's low in volume and it is contained. If it's not, it will go straight up. We are 45 story towers, so everything comes up. So, light, sound, and according to this, this is going to be the main entrance down here. Well, this is our delivery, our shipping and delivery, right here. It's the back of our property where all of the deliveries come and go. So that's going to be a problem. I think it's going to be a huge problem for our delivery people. And that's going to be not just, you know, it's every day. Plus, if this is the drop-off and pickup area for Uber, that's going to be a loud area. That's going to be one of the loudest areas. And do they drive around here and then come back out here? I have a lot of concerns. Traffic. Oh, forgot about this one. This says that there's food trucks and multiple food trucks all in this corner. Well, this is the back of our two towers here. So right up here. Are these food trucks, are they just generally like what I think of as a food truck? Are they from Dragon Lights? Who are these food trucks? Do they stay from open to close? And where does all their garbage go? You're gonna hear in a little while when they had a, or they're in October, their lowrider show that oil was spilled. Very concerned about the garbage, the noise, the light, and traffic.
Brent Carter, CARTER, 222 Kettering Avenue, number 4502. I'm part of the HOA board for the West Tower. There's two towers, an East Tower and a West Tower, and I'm the secretary. And we had a HOA meeting last night, and we, you know, we usually have quite a few people come out to it. Erin expressed that she would like a lot of people to come out today, but also knowing that this is a small room, we didn't really want to fill it with 100, 200 people. But our concerns, you guys have a tough job, just like board members have tough jobs. We have to make decisions. I guess what we were told about the Westgate event, and I know it's not the Westgate event because it hasn't happened yet, but that's not what happened. And where's our, what can we do if, you know, the diagrams say this and that's not what happens? You know, they have it till March. We've heard, hey, we want to do this for 3 years or we want however long, and I don't know. But when the Westgate thing came around, we were thinking one thing and another thing happens. And I guess that's our frustration. Because everybody, you know, it's Christmas time and they want to do things with their property, and we get that. We don't, but we live in a 24-hour town, and sometimes some people are trying to sleep, stuff like that. So there's residents hearing things, and just like Erin said, is it going to be 35 feet? If it's not, where's our repercussion as residents? You know, do we go out there with a camera? Look, it's not. So that's our concerns. A lot of the residents aren't for it just because of the unknown. They were, a lot were for the Westgate because, oh, cool, you know, some lights, some ambient noise, quiet. And that's not what happened. Because when you're trying to sleep, because you're on the midnight shift and you hear things, well, you can't because you got the big speakers going. So what are we supposed to do? Go out there with our video cameras? Look, it's loud. And you guys don't want to deal with that. You're like, oh, okay, well, cool. So just our concerns. Appreciate it.
R-O-B-I-N-S-O-N. I live at 222 Karen Avenue as well. And so I'm the president of Turnberry Towers Community Association. If you're not familiar with it, it's two towers, plus an outside area that consists of the parking garage and swimming pools. So collectively, it's 636 units or homeowners. We've got a great place to live. I moved in there in 2021 and joined the board about 2 years ago. We spent about roughly $7.9 million a year collectively on our budget to improve the community. I think napkin math, the value of the tower is roughly $225 million to $235 million. So the county receives a significant amount of money from the property tax they get from our units, and we're happy to pay that tax. We love where we live, but it does reduce our values when we have these types of events, whether it be at the Westgate or the Lowrider show they had last year. And I can share with you the Lowrider, I don't know what it was, but there was the same owner that had the same event, and it lasted until 11:30 at night. It was very loud. There was hydraulic oil everywhere. People complained to me. We don't want to call the police, but because it's a waste of their time. But at the same time, it's a massive inconvenience for all of the residents of Turnberry Towers. And like I said, we generate a lot of tax revenue for the county. We're happy to pay that money. But at the same time, we're spending close to $8 million a year from a budget standpoint to improve the value of our community. And then we have these events that come in and want to take advantage of what we've created as a community and disrupt our quality of life, have lights, have sound, have lowrider conventions, leave oil everywhere. And so I just ask the county that you do not approve this, because it's just going to create issues. It doesn't create a whole lot of value for the community. It doesn't create revenue. It's going to deteriorate our values more than the value that it's going to add to the community. And so that's been our biggest concern, is the owner of the property. They've owned it since 2018. They actually sued so that the monorail couldn't be sold to the Las Vegas Convention Authority. I don't know why, it seems odd to me. But they're basically a negligent neighbor. The lowrider thing last year kind of was like the tipping point of where they just don't care about any of their neighbors, what kind of problems they cause, how late it goes, the sound, everything. And so that would be my, representing the community, that would be my ask of the county, is to just preserve our quality of life, continue to tax us at the rate you do, take the money that you do, and allow us to continue to build on what we've already created and have an amazing community here in Las Vegas.
Thank you. Next.
Ron Groverman, 222 Karen, 2602. A couple concerns. One is, you talk about the ambient noise project when it's running. What happens during put up and tear down? Are we going to hear jackhammering? Are we going to hear pounding? Are we going to hear? I certainly know when Westgate was doing it, there was a lot of noise that had nothing to do with the actual function. The other concern I have is around security. If you're actually successful in generating a lot of people coming, what kind of security is being put in place to ensure people aren't loitering after, that there's no vandalism to our parking garage or any other vehicles in it? We just haven't heard anything about those things and how that's going to be managed. So those are really my two concerns.
Next. Anybody else?
I'm not allowed to speak again.
Or just read. No.
No. No.
Okay. All right. We're going to close that one. Now we're going to open to the board. Does the board have any questions?
Should she answer their questions first?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yes. You got to answer.
Okay. I'll just go in the order that they came in. I don't know the answer to the first question, and even if I did, I don't think it's an appropriate question. Relative to the second question about the height at the Reno show, so we're comfortable agreeing to a condition that the height will be limited to 35 feet. I don't know what it is in Reno, but I know that we're okay agreeing to a condition that it will be 35 feet. That actually gives us a little bit of wiggle room. The tallest was that, she's right, it was that opening kind of walkthrough, which occurs right here, because this is where you buy your tickets and you walk in right here, so really, really far away and up closer to Sahara. But we're okay with the condition that it's a maximum of 35 feet.
the pagoda spotlight. We are okay with, I know I have not seen that as a, any of the exhibits. We're also okay with a condition that says no spotlights. So that way we wouldn't, A, you're covered on height, that pagoda looked pretty tall. And also we would agree to a condition for no spotlights. So if there was a pagoda, it would be 35 feet, but it couldn't have spotlights that shine up like that one. Maybe I'll kind of come back to both of those. Let me get to security and then the assurances. On the security, yes, there will be security on site. At the anytime that this is open, we will have our own security that we are paying contract security to be on site. And then when it is closed, there's a fence on the exterior, but there will be a fence around the actual exhibit too that will also be closed. And you know, if we see a need to provide additional security when it's not open because it's fenced, completely closed, then we will do that. But when it's open, yes, there will be on-site security. In terms of assurances, because I get it, I understand where they're coming from. They heard the same thing. I didn't do the presentation, but just from what they're saying, they heard the same kind of thing from Westgate, and then it turned out it was something not at all what they were told it was going to be. So one thing that we could do is agree to a review. So if this ends in March, you know, normally you do 1 year reviews, I think we should do it sooner. Let's do a review before, and by let's do one, I mean we have to file for one, how it gets to you in the county's process. We would have to file for a review prior to 2 months would be May 8th. And that way it's fresh. We know how it worked or didn't work if there are a problem. I would love it if they come out and say, oh my God, you restored our faith, it was great. But if there are things that didn't go well, then at least we know it, and we know it relatively quickly after this, and they feel like there could be some kind of ability to comment, to say this was a problem, to say it wasn't a problem if it wasn't. That feels like a way to directly address the assurances. So I've got, let me just repeat what I've said. I've got, we'll agree to no structure over 35 feet. We would agree to file for a review by May 8th. I'm just trying to do 60 days after it ends. That's kind of my, and that's us filing. It'll take its time to get here to a public hearing. And then we will have on-site security when it's open at all times. If you want to add that as a condition, that's fine. We'll have on-site security when open. When closed, we plan to completely close it. I would leave it in the discretion of the owner. If there's problems that are occurring when it's closed and they need to add security, they will, because it's their exhibits. I would agree to no spotlights. That was another condition. And then I'll respond to anything else that the board has.
I'm a little confused. Is this where the Sahara employees used to park?
Here's the Sahara.
Yeah.
So here's, I guess I just didn't know if they used to park there. But I think you could be right.
You did, right?
Because here's the Sahara. Okay. Here's Paradise. And this is the
okay. So this is behind the towers.
This is
so
behind
we're not
the
in front. Of, okay, gotcha.
Westgate would be in front of the towers, and we're behind the towers, which sits behind the parking.
Got it. And I have another question. What's the if the towers are here? How far out are we in celebrating that space?
So I did it to the like Christmas tree. Now remember, the Christmas tree is going to be 6 feet. So the area where I would have some kind of light in something, that's 140 feet from the south property line. Now, over in here, this is the food, I didn't answer the question about food trucks. This food court or food truck area is over here, but I took your question to mean to an exhibit of some kind, and we have it as 140 feet. Can I answer the question about food trucks?
Yes.
Okay. So we have both food booths, and then we have an area where we could have a food truck. No, we plan to partner with groups that would want to come in. It would only be open when we're open, but those could be food booths or food trucks.
How many employees do you think that it'll employ? That
actually about that. I'm sorry, but I don't actually know that answer. I did not ask that question.
And the amount of revenue you think that that'll be bringing into Los Aires?
We plan to sell, see, it's harder on the revenue. Let me go through the ticket prices. The ticket, they're actually like family-friendly ticket prices. $23 if you're 2 to 12. If you're under 2, I guess it's free. $30 for adults, and then $35 if it's like the Thursday to Saturday or that holiday, those four. Remember I said New Year's Eve, Christmas Eve, and the Chinese New Year's Eve? Mm-hmm. So I don't have a total of what that would be. We do estimate that maybe during the week, 1,500 tickets, you know, like on a daily basis. The weekends could go up to 3,000, but again, that's time. You have timed entries to come in.
I have a question, but more for staff. So if they were to break their conditions, what avenue would these people have to report that?
There's a couple. So code enforcement enforces Title 30, but they can always reach out to the commissioner's office. And I think the same situation happened when the Westgate, all your board as well as your managers for both towers have the commissioner's contact information. And my information is in the agenda that everyone could grab up there.
Jennifer, I have another question for you. Has there been any events on this site before?
Well, I'm just taking what that gentleman said.
Yes, there has. There's a lowrider convention October 4th of last year. I'll share with you the video.
And how long did that last for?
I'm aware of that lowrider because they used to hold it on another site, so I'm aware of that event. But I'm just taking what your comment. I don't foresee that issue with us, but I know what you're talking about, the lowrider event.
There's loud and noisy is the issue. It's like there's negligent neighbors that are loud and noisy.
Traffic went all the way up in Southland.
How long was that event?
The lowrider doesn't last that long.
It was a week long.
It was long enough. But I figured. It was a weekend.
So meaning not like a year, not like this.
And this is a 3 month thing we're talking about.
The traffic was long.
Okay, we're not having a conversation.
I don't have any more questions.
Regarding the food trucks, there was a supplemental question with regards to the trash removal.
We'll bring our dumpsters on site.
Okay.
It'll be over here, some kind of dumpster that we can put the trash into.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for the county. What's the dust bowl in that area? Because we're all zoned H1, correct? That entire area is zoned H1. Because we're a corridor of the Las Vegas Strip, so it's just the regular dust bowl.
The regular?
The dust bowl of the strip, the noise.
Decibels.
Yes, sorry about that.
Yeah, we do have a noise standard that has to be complied with.
Got it.
So
that the noise standard that is. I want to make a motion.
I don't have any further questions.
All right, go ahead.
I motion to approve, but I want to add a lot of what you're saying. I motion to approve with staff conditions, but I want to add the 35 feet condition.
Okay.
I want to add the review and the May 8th review.
Okay.
I want to make sure that there is a detailed security report.
Who do you want me to give that to?
Well, when you go, we're just the advisory board. Uh-huh. So when you go and meet with the commissioners, when you go up there, I think you should take up the security part, like showing where you're going to have your security.
Oh, I see what you're asking.
Exit entrance if there is an incident. I think you can call out the trash cans on here.
Probably, how are you going to talk with Metro? How do your security is going to coordinate with Metro?
I don't think, did you mention something?
I said no spotlights.
No spotlights?
I said max height 35 feet, no spotlights, review filed within 60 days of the end of the event. I'll make these conditions more technical.
What about sound? Loudspeaker. We've gone through all this already.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to put right now.
I'm sorry,
yeah.
Excuse me.
On the noise, what the noise is in that area that is allowed. I don't. If you want to take a look at that, and then you want to put a condition. You want to take a look, and then, like I said, we're advisory board. Commissioners have the ultimate decision. We welcome you to go to the meeting. And then if we can also get the numbers of everyone they can call if something's not being followed.
Yep.
For the towers mainly, yeah. So they have a number they can go and talk to somebody. If they have concerns, they can reach. But that will number be available for the president?
Would have the number to
they
call.
They already have.
Oh, they do.
What's the question?
Yeah, I'm saying that she's going to provide a direct number to them. So if you have a concern that they voice into you, you can call her, but you're going to have that number. So you have the access to it. And if something is like, oh, look, this is not going the way it's going to be, you're going to call and tell them, hey, something's going to happen. Well, that's what we don't want, because then you're going to have 1,000 calls.
We don't want it at all. So
yeah, but if you give everyone the number, it actually makes it less effective. It's better if everyone reports to you as the president, and then if there's an issue,
but
you
if I'm
call.
Out of town,
does your phone not work when you're out of town?
Right, but if I'm out of town, or if I'm, wherever.
So they
I'm,
report to you.
They don't. No reports.
Well, no, they tell you if there's an issue, and then you are the person who's in charge of calling.
I don't have.
Kind of like a phone tree.
I don't have the authority to tell them to call me first. Like, it's not my position to tell them who they can and can't call. They're just owners. We're all just unit owners. So they can call the commissioner, they can call 911, they can call whatever phone number they want.
We're going to give her number to you only.
I mean, no, you're
okay.
Is what we're saying.
Yeah, it's not your number.
The company, the company number.
I'm going to distribute the number to other folks because I don't want to be a single point of failure in the call chain.
Okay, that might lead to a more ineffective call chain if everyone blows her up. So. She may decide not to give you the number.
Well, I think what we're trying to do though is we're trying to avoid all that stuff with the conditions, and your client will need to follow all this, or they just, if they don't, Title 30 says you can come in and take it down. So I don't think they're going to spend all this amount of money if they're not going to follow the stipulations that we're on. So I don't think we need to go there.
I don't think she addressed all the questions. I know I certainly had one that wasn't addressed. I mean, it's nice to pick and choose, but it doesn't work that way.
Well, there were a lot of questions, so can you repeat what your question
was? Your question regarded noise and security, correct?
My question was specifically around tear down and setup noise, which was not.
My apologies. So
well, that's
you said
that was about the dates.
And then you could add, also on when you go and meet with the county commissioners, you could add, tear down and what the hours are going to be to tear down, and then the hours that you're going to.
Sure.
And I think I'll probably have to make another motion, right, with all of this stuff.
You just clarify.
I motion to approve with staff conditions. The 35-foot wall or 35-foot
maximum
height. May 8th review. A security plan. The trash enclosures to be put on the diagram. The no spotlights.
No bad spotlights, bad security.
The tear down and
right
hours for the setup and tear down.
Yes.
What was the tear down?
Provide hours of the setup and the tear down.
Oh, okay. The other concern is they're going to block one of our exits, so that's our evacuation path in the event of emergency.
Well, she's going to put a security plan in place. That's what would be where they can't block that. They can't, per Metro and Fire Department, all that. They're not allowed to block that, so she'll have to call it out here for the security plan of your evacuation.
Okay.
I motion to approve. All of those in favor?
Aye.
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 And
other events?
Hold on. Can we do that at the end, the comments? Let's finish this part, and then you can say that.
I'm asking what you just approved.
So let him just approve it, because they just voted, so he had to say motion approved.
Motion approved?
Yeah.
Motion approved.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, because we still have a meeting, but we can ask that question afterwards.
All right. All right, so the motion passes. Now we got informational items. Do we have any informational items?
General business, yes. You're here to approve the town board budget requests from last year and to get new input. So last year you requested a new tripod, more code enforcement officers, and streetlights. Mm-hmm. So an update, you received a new tripod. We're onboarding more code enforcement officers. We haven't added more, but now we are fully staffed. And then for streetlights, we're down on our list substantially for the amount of streetlights we have repaired.
Can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. What is going on in regards to, I think they're making some, are they changing out the copper wiring? Are they replacing them with non-copper?
Yes, we're doing a combination of a lot of times we are, instead of doing copper, we're doing aluminum wire. Mm-hmm. We're stringing them up top so that people don't have to pull the light. And then the legislature approved a bill for higher penalties for the recycling junkyards to accept recycled copper wire.
Okay, so that's going to slow it down. How far down the list? I'm sorry, but I get asked all the time, so I just want to know.
No, they hired a contractor for $2 million, and they undid that in February, so they replaced that. It's a matter of how fast they're replacing it versus how fast people are pulling it. So there's no list. We can't say 40% because they're always adding more.
Okay.
But we haven't received a lot of reports where we're not getting to a light fast enough. If you do, please let us know.
Okay.
So we can put this item on the next agenda for you guys to review more requests. Mm-hmm. If you guys don't have any today, or
does anyone have any?
Probably
have to go home and think about it.
Okay, so I can put this on for the next.
Okay. All right, so now we move to the public comment portion of this agenda. Please direct all your comments and questions to the board. If everyone in the public has a chance to speak about any of these comments, do you have any public comments? Go ahead.
So the application. Oh,
sorry, again, you had to say your name at the hotel.
Aaron Danilis, 222 Karen Avenue. So the application included other events over a period of 3 years, undefined, no information provided whatsoever. Was that also approved as part of their application?
So the review that you mentioned, that's where you're going to go into it. Before, remember the last meeting we spoke about it, and what you mentioned was it was going to be the same thing for the last 3 years, if I'm not mistaken, what you mentioned?
I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead.
So, the application was a use permit for that particular permit. If there's events less than that certain amount of period, that it's administratively. But if there's more, they would have to come to the board.
More than what?
More than a certain number of days for an event.
But also, if they're not following Title 30, that they will lose and be able to have these events.
Well, the idea was to come in for the review in May.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So they're subjecting themselves to review, so it could potentially be revoked if you didn't like how it worked out with this particular event.
So what I understand that they've asked for is 3 years of this up to 6 month process, building, operating, tear down, and come back, building, operating, tear down, plus other events that we don't know what they are, when they are, what they are.
So that's what the review is for. Review comes in May, they'll look at it again and they'll decide whether or not that will continue to be approved or whether that will go away.
So they get this one chance to make it right. If they don't make it right, you guys go in. Like I said, son, gentlemen, we come back here and we tell them no more. That's it.
Okay. So in May, when we're back here and they do their review, if everything's gone well with the light show, we won't know
what they're planning for the summer or into the fall.
So that's what we can ask them at that point. We can be, and we can do the same thing that we did with her. If it's, I don't know, just for lack of it, let's say it's another lowrider show, we're going to say immediately no, because you guys already said that that was too much. But if it's something similar to it, then we're going to be like, well, you know, you did right the first time. Let's just say for this, for sake of conversation, you did it right. And you guys were like, yeah, it was fine this time, but we had no issues like the other one. Then we continue doing the same thing. But if it's under the same lines.
So I don't know what the rules are with regard to the length of time. Mm-hmm. How many days can they operate an event without coming to you guys?
Free.
Or what can they do?
So for other temporary uses, throughout the year on the property, they have to go through our temporary use process. And most of them tend to be less than 10 days, just in general.
We'll get notice like we do on the cards?
No, those are administrative applications that just come in. If they meet the code, they get it most of the time. If there's something they can't meet, then they may have to go through this process like this.
Okay, so in reality, sorry, I like to push things to the extreme because I'm an attorney and I know how far people push things. They could have a week-long event, do whatever they want, pick it up and leave, and then come back and do another week-long event over and over.
They can't do whatever they want. That's why I put so many stipulations in.
But it's for the live show, though.
No, I know, but then you still have that phone number you call, and they still have a Title 30 that they have to follow.
I understand. Like, you can't have this. We know what we're expecting. And I appreciate the restrictions. I appreciate it, but I know what's going to happen. And it's frustrating. It's just frustrating.
So, I guess it's like a happy medium, too. Like, we do live in Los
Angeles. It's a parking lot. They were going to build a Buddhist temple. Now they want to have a carnival. They tried to do that 5 years ago with tigers, and that didn't go through. And so they're trying to, generate some income off of this property. I get it. At our expense.
Also, just so you guys remember, we are a board that tells the county, you know, we think, like she just said, put all these conditions to it. You guys still got to go to the county and do the same thing you did here. So
that's
they can.
Next week.
Yeah. You got to do the same thing, go over there. Because we can put as many restrictions, but it's, you know, also up to you guys to go over there and tell the county commissioners, you know, this, this, and that. Go ahead.
Isaac Smith, 222 Karen Avenue. S-M-Y-T-H. Informational stuff.
Yeah, go ahead.
1,500 people a day, 3 people in a car, that's 500 cars in that block. 140 feet, that sounds like a lot of ways, but that sounds like a big, big stretch. That's half a football field, that's all that is. Information.
Any more comments by the public? Go ahead.
Justin Robinson, 222 Garrett Avenue, ROVI, so I like the question, I'm not sure you asked it, like, hey, what's your sales forecast? Because it is a business. Every business has a business plan, a sales forecast. And because really you're saying, like, what is the tax revenue? What's the financial benefit to the county for having this event? And for her to not have no idea of what the upside to the county is from a revenue standpoint, I know what our tax values are across the entire property. You know, it's roughly $3 million a year in property tax that the county receives from our building. And as we put more and more effort into our community, those values go up, and the county's a benefactor of it. For her to come in and say that she has no idea how much money they're gonna make or bring to the county, I find that very disingenuous and almost deceptive in nature.
I don't know if that's her job. I don't know what her position is, but sometimes they just send the architects or the planners, and those people aren't on the back end of things.
Well,
so it has more to do with who they sent here.
Either way, I just find it odd that the benefit to the county is tax revenue. For her to have no idea what they're going to bring to the county, like, we know what they're going to bring to our neighborhood, which is a bunch of lights, the loud, the drone and the music. Just, that's the other thing, is the decibels is one measurement, but the low hum of the background music till 11:30 at night. We've got a lot of residents that are 75, 85 years old, they want to go to bed early, and to have that loud, just humming noise coming from the parking lot, it's going to be a huge irritant. And so there's not a lot of upside for us. There's no upside for us, really. And there's not a lot of upside for the county. The fact that she doesn't know how much money they're going to bring to the county is a red flag.
Quick question for county, real quick. What's the level of noise
maximum noise in that area.
We can talk about it after.
Okay.
This is public comment.
Okay.
I'm for sure now that I asked her, I'm sure she'll be better prepared when she, when county commissioners ask her that question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're sure of it?
It's not the first time we've encountered.
I don't see how you can be sure.
The loudspeakers wasn't a condition.
I don't think this is the first time we've encountered someone being sent who didn't know the back end number situation, because oftentimes the person they're sending is not the person who is doing that stuff. They'll send like the architect or the planner, and that's a different job that someone has, and they might not have thought to come and present that section of it. So it's not
and
necessarily
again,
representative of an intentional.
The price is pretty well.
I think they're just withholding information. I mean, you're kind of giving them the benefit of the doubt that it's over. They send someone who doesn't know anything. I think you're giving her the benefit of the doubt.
I'm just telling you what we've seen historically.
And
in this
again, room. We're just advisory.
You're advising.
This is public advisory. The commission. And I can tell you that when we get one day's notice of this meeting last two weeks ago, we get one day's notice. If we get that, sometimes we get it on the same day that you are meeting. We usually don't even get a chance to talk to you guys. So it just gets rubber stamped. And the commission goes, oh, nobody showed up at Winchester, therefore nobody must care. So we care. We're telling you we care. And I understand that you're putting conditions, but I can tell you what we expect. And we expect the worst, which is what we got last time.
And you know the music in Mike Smith. I'm sorry,
hold on.
Mike Smith, 222 Karen, SMYTH. You know, Isaac. I went through all that. I forgot what I was going to say. I'm so old. It just, like I say, we got one day. I got the thing in the mail. The next day was the meeting. It's like, why did you guys even waste the paper and waste the stamp to send it to us? Because you sent it to 600 people. Whatever your deal is for getting stamps or whatever that paper costs has to be... has to be some dough. Can't we get that out a week or two before the meeting so we're all prepared instead of,
isn't there a requirement to send 7 days?
Never finding out.
And
wasn't even 24 hours.
NRS requires the mailers to go out before the final action, which is Planning Commission or Board of County Commissioners. It does not involve Town Board.
Oh, okay.
So that's a Nevada revised statute, legislature requirement.
We should talk about getting that process changed.
The legislature. So we follow NRS.
We'll get another notification from the county, you're saying?
No, your notification, if you saw it, yeah.
That's the one for the county. That's the county one.
It's the only one.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only one that they get. They only send one unless it's after 90 days. Then they have to re-notify everyone if the item gets held more than 90 days at the Board of County Commissioners or Planning Commission.
And generally, the applicant has to pay for that.
Yeah.
So for us, it's only the internet then?
Sometimes depends on how fast people's mail is.
Yeah. Any more questions or any more comments?
I do have a question. Justin Robinson, Normal United, SON, 222 Karen Avenue. So, what are the consequences? If they block our fire exit, like, what are the consequences of that? Because the Lowrider Convention absolutely blocked
our
exit.
Safety, so 911.
So no, what are the I'm not saying what number do I call, I'm saying what are the consequences to them if they don't comply with their own safety plan and their traffic is blocking our egress route? What are the consequences?
I don't think this board knows because they do land use and zoning, so I would have to ask fire and metro. Because they do fines,
okay.
Right? Like if there's a building doesn't have fire, they do fines, building business licensing gets pulled and stuff.
Okay. So can we talk to Tick about this then?
Yeah.
Okay.
So my email and phone number are on here. We can schedule meetings.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. So one more. Sorry. Greg Carter, 222 Karen Adams. Justin brings up a great point, and it just wasn't talked about, and I hope I can describe it. And I understand you guys are advisory, and it's about the lowrider, and it just popped in my head. If you think about where Paradise is, and then Sahara, Joe Brown, and then Karen, and so you have the square. And if you remember, she said, you enter here, and you enter here on Sahara. And with the lowrider, everybody is on Karen,
trying to now make a right turn onto Paradise, now trying to wait in line to get in to park. Now, and it's, I know you guys are advisory. So now if you miss that, you go up to Sahara, and now you make a right, and now you have a ton of traffic blocking Sahara trying to get into the other entrance. And what I'm describing to you is what I saw from the lowrider from my balcony. Now I get it, but now when you miss this entrance on Sahara, you come back around to Joe Brown, come back over to Karen, and now get in line. And all I'm getting at is you see the mess that then begins, because my balcony is north and south. So I'm like, oh cool, something's going on behind me. Oh boy. And then something's going on in front, and now you see all these cars, because nobody knows which line to go into. No one's directing how to get into Paradise. And all these people, okay, I don't want to let you in. I've been waiting in this line. So just something to think about that I guess we bring up to the council. Thank you. Oh, can I have a donut? I'm kidding.
The donuts up, yeah. All right.
Okay.
That's it? Anybody else? Huh? Okay. All right, so now we're going to move to general business.
We already did that part.
Now, next meeting date will be September 30th, 2025. The city is adjourned.
Let me turn off the...